Today's Mishnah and Gemara is the Yud Zayin. We will begin right on the top of Yud Zayin Amud Aleph with a new Mishnah which discusses the writing of the Megillas Sota. Says the Mishnah, Baloi lichtovis ha-Megillah, meizem makom hu kaisiv. When the Kohen comes to write the Megillah, where exactly does he start? Now, for the next few minutes, it would be helpful to have a Chumash in front of you. Of course, the Parsha of Sota appears in Parshas Naso, in Perek Hey, starting from Pasuk Yud Aleph. The Mishnah says that the Kohen would start writing the Megillah of the Sota, which ultimately is going to be put into the Mayim. That Megillah starts on Pasuk Yutes, where it says, let's begin in the beginning of the Pasuk. The Kohen will actually start writing it in the middle of the Pasuk. V'yishpia asah HaKohen v'amar li, im lo shachav asach v'im lo satis tuma tachas ishech. And he writes that Pasuk, including then Pasuk Chaf. And the Mishnah continues. So let's see it in the words of Mishnah. Bolo lichtov es ha-Megillah meizem makom u'kosev mivim lo shachav va'at kisat tachas ishech. That's pasuk chav. And then the Mishnah says va'ein u'kosev yishpia kohen es ha-isha. That is not written because that's a description of the process. And then where does he pick up the kosev? And he writes in the middle of pasuk chav aleph. He then continues to write Yitein Hashem Osach La'ola. That's where he continues. L'shuah v'omayim ha'morma ha'ela b'me'ayach l'spasbatim v'l'pol yarech ve'ena kosev. Then he does not quote the end of Pasuk of Beis of Ha'amra Isha Amen Amen. So he writes, skipping a couple of things from the middle of Pasuk Yutes until almost the end of Pasuk Chav Beis. This is the opinion of Tanakhama. Rabbi Yosef Eloi Mastik. Rabbi Yosef said there was no stops, straight, without any jumps. Rabbi Yudaimer, Kol Atzma Eina Kaisiv, all he writes is the following. Yitein Hashem Oscha La'olo Shua in Pasuk Chaf Aleph. And then there it says, in Pasuk Chaf Beis, Uvo Mayim Hama'orim Hoi Libim Me'ayich. Ve'eina Kaisiv Amri Yishav Mein Amein. Essentially, the third opinion of Rebbe Yehuda is that he begins to write from Pasuk Chaf Aleph. Ask the Gemara, the Maika Mifli, what is the crux of the machlokas between these Tanoim? Bahai Kroka Mifli, explains the Gemara, they're arguing over the meaning of the Pasuk of V'chosav Sa'olo Sa'ela. This is Pasuk Chav Gimel. V'chosav Sa'olo Sa'ela Hakoy Besefer Umocha El Mei Hama'orim. What does it mean? The chosav es alos hakeren basefer. A mayor suffer alos alos mamish. What it means is literally the curses. Rashi explains that alos refers to the part of the pasuk of yitein Hashem osach, and then uboim bo hamayim hamorim, which was in pasuk chafalis. The Gemara then says, but Rabbi Meir points out that it doesn't say alos, which just simply refers to Pasuk Chaf Aleph, but it says Ha'alos, the Alos. The Hey is coming Lirabo, says the Gemara. What's it coming to add? Klolos Habos Machmos Brachos. The curses that came as a result of the Brachos. What is that? So Rashi explains that the Brachos are the end of Pasuk Yutes, Hinoki Mimei Hamorim. In other words, what Rashi is teaching us is that the continuation starts with the end of Pasuk Yutes and then goes in, that's the bracha, but afterwards we have the klolos terbos machmas habracha, that if in Pasuk Yutes we say vimlo satis, if she wasn't mezana, then in Pasuk Chaf it then says va'at ki satis, that if she was mezana, so those are the klolos habos machas brachas, and that's what's learned from the fact that it says Ha'alos. Rabbi Meir continues to darshan, but it doesn't only say V'chasav es Ha'alos, it also says V'chasav es Ha'alos Ha'ele. Ele continues the Gemara. Lemiute klolos of Mishnah Torah comes to preclude the klolos of when we do averos that are described in Mishnah Torah. If it had not said O'ela, then we would have thought that those should be included as well in Sefer, those klolos that are mentioned in Sefer Devarim. That's in terms of Eila. Ha'Eila, that's coming also to preclude something. Lemiute tzavos v'kabalos amen. To preclude the statement to the woman where we have v'yishpia ha'kohen, and then the woman concludes, amen, amen, all of that is not to be recorded in the minchas, in the Megillah of the Minchas Saita. The Gemara continues 5 lines into the Gemara on Yudayin Amid Aleph, V'Rabbi Yosi, according to Rabbi Yosi, who disagrees with Rabbi Meir, who says that the whole Parsha was written, so then, how did he learn the Psukim that told him the entire Parsha? Says Rabbi Yosi, Kulu Kida Kamrit, I agree with everything that had been said above, in the above 5 lines of the Gemara. However, S, it also says S. The cost of S alosa ela. What's the S coming to teach us? The rabbis tzavos v'kabolos. It's coming to include even the tzavos of the kabolos, even with the description of va'amra isha on main amen, even that is going to be included according to Rabbi Yossi, and that is all included in the S. V'Rabbi Meir. What's Rabbi Meir going to say? What is he doing with the S? S in lo darish. He doesn't darish in the word S. We had a third opinion in our Mishnah. And that was the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda said that the only thing that was written was from the pasuk, Yiten Hashem oscha la'ala u'lishvua. Rabbi Yehuda? Why does he start from Yiten Hashem oscha la'ala u'lishvua? Rabbi Yehuda kula b'miyot. Darishlu, he darshins all the above that we saw, the Rabbi Meir darshin, but in the inverse direction, to be mamayit, to exclude something, not to include. Alos, because of Esa Alois, that is what it's coming to exclude, Alois Mamish, only the Alois Mamish. Ha Alois, not only Alois themselves, but Lumiute, Klolois, Hamois, Bachlis, Bracha. That was the part that we had said, that was the klalos that come after the bracha that say, if you didn't do it, then you will be rewarded. Allah, lemute klosha mishna taira. Ha Allah, lemute tzavos v'kabbalos. So we have very different ways of darshing the psukim. Rabbi Meir, maishna hai hei demarbi bei. According to Rabbi Meir, we had the ha'alois that was coming to tell you the hay was there to add le rabbis klos amos bachas brachos. Yet, on the other hand, ha'alah, we learned, according to Rabbi Meir, 3 lines into the Gemara, was limiate savos v'kabbalos. So asks the Gemara, so then why is it that one time the hay is to be marbe? Ma'ishna hay hay to marbe be, u'ma'ishna hay hay to mayit be. Why is it that when it comes to the second, because of us, Allah's Ha'Allah HaKohen, why is the second Ha'Allah written and coming to be Mamayit? Answers the Gemara simply, Hey Degabe Ribui Ribuyahi. If the Hey is coming on a Ribui, then it's coming to be Marbe. Hey Degabe Miyuta, the second Allah was coming to be Mamayit, the Lemiute Klolosha Mishnah Torah. So if it's already coming to be mayit, the core word of Allah is coming to be mayit, then the hay also will be coming to be mayit. Hay hay degabe dimiute miute. Asks the Gemara, Valesle the Rabbi Meir, Michlalav atashomeahin. But the Gemara asks, Rabbi Meir doesn't hold the rule, Michlalav atashomeahin. Valesle Rabbi Meir, Michlalav atashomeahin. What is the Gemara's kasha? So Rashi explains that we have in the pasuk. Here we have to add even to what Rashi says. Rashi doesn't spell this out explicitly, but we had in the pasuk that according to Rabbi Meir, that what would be written would also be imlo shachav ish oisach v'imlo satis tumatachas ishech
Hinakimi me hamarim hamma'arim ha'ela. That we say, and if you didn't do the avera. Now, if we learned, had the rule of michla lava toshameahein, which means whenever the Torah says no, you can infer yes. What's a classic example? Well, when it came to Bnei Ganu, Bnei Ruvain, so there, HaKadosh Baruch Hu told them, through Moshe Rabbeinu, im yavru, if you pass over, so then with the rest of Bnei Israel and fight the war, then you will accept, get, Eivor HaYarden. Vim lo yavru, and you will not pass over, then you will not get. We learn out from Bnei Ganu and Bnei Ruvain that one needs a tnai kofel, and one we do not say, mechla lav, ata shomeahein. If it would say only once, like the laws of logic would tell us, that if we would say, if you don't travel over, then you don't get Eivor HaYarden, so then one could infer, it's not an absolutely logical rule, v'ameivin yavin, but one could infer that if one does travel over, then one does get. Rabbi Meir is of the opinion that we do not say, mechla lav ata shomeahein. If that's so, asks the Gemara, then why write the negative? If we would say mechla lav ata shomeahen im lo shachav isho sach, then you'll be okay. So then we would be able to say, but im shachav isho sach, then you won't be okay. Then there's a value in lo. But otherwise, if we don't say mechla lav ata shomeahen, it doesn't have any value. Answers the Gemara. It's a good question. Amri v'tanchom hinok iksiv. The answer is that it says in the Torah, chinaki, and that also has the connotation of chinaki. Take a look at Rashi, Amar Rabbi Tamchan, chinaki ksiv below yud, dimishtamoa hanok chinaki, imlo shachav, etidrosh hachi, tumatach sheikh, chinaki. That the pasuk would read, imlo shachav isach, imlo satis, tumatachasi sheikh chinaki, that we would darshan the hay and the ches. On the mode of darshing the psukim, we continue with darshing the psukim in a very famous gemara. Darish Rabbi Akiva. Ish v'isha zachu, if man and woman merit shechina beinehem, the shechina resides between them. Lo zachu eishach alasan, they're not zocha, then there is a fire between them. Rashi spells out this beautiful idea that if there's zocha, so then in such a case you have the yud from the ish, from the word ish, and the hey from the isha that come together, and they create ka. And if they're not zocha, so then you take the yuds out, the yud and the hey out, and what's left is only ish ish. And men beware, amaraba udi isha. And the fire of the Isha, Adifa midi Ish. It's always the woman who will end up with the better end of the deal in Chas v'Chalila that they're fighting. My taima, hai mitzaref, v'hai lo mitzaref. So Rashi explains with the Isha, Adifa midi Ish, the first wide line. Eish al Isha, kashum eres echav li pareya, Mishal Ish. My taima, hai mitzaref. Eish al Isha, nocha lahadik maher. Easier for her to catch fire. She'ain os shel shame masik el mechuber v'hu nikra ish. But rather immediately, you take away the hay, it's immediately ish. Avol shel ish, when it comes to man, ain yos es shel ish mitzarefes. Yachad she yud shel shechina masekes. The Gemara continues with that, got it to 20 lines from the bottom. Amar Ravam, b'pnei ma'am ratera haba ofer l'sota Zachsa. Why does the Torah say bring the offer, the dirt to the sota? Answers the Gemara, Zachsa yotzi mimena ben Avram Avinu. Because if she's zocha, then she'll be zocha like a ben ke Avram Avinu. Dichsiv ba ofer veifer. Avram says about himself, Anachi ofer veifer. So she, who put herself in the darga of offer, or was put in the darga of offer, will be zocha to a child like Avram Avinu, who called himself Ofer ve'Efer, lo zachzer tachzer l'Ofra. But if she's not zocha, she returns to the dirt. In other words, she dies. Darish Rava, another drasha from Rava. B'schar she'amar Avram Avinu v'anachi Ofer ve'Efer, zochu bana l'shtei mitzvahs. Because Avram Avinu
was mashbil himself and called himself Ofer Vefer, he was zochet to two mitzvahs. Efer Parav, Ofer Saita. He was zochet for the Paraduma and Ofer Sota. Ask the Gemara, but there's another offer. Vayika Nami, Ofer Kisudam. Hasam Hechsher Mitzvah Ika Hana Leka. Kisei Adam, there is no Hana. It's only what the Gemara called a Hechsher Mitzvah, and there's no product of Hana that comes out of it. In contrast to the Saita, so then the May Saita brings Shalom, and also the Efer Para is to be Metair Klal Yisrael from the Maisa Egel and other Tumas. Darish Rava, Rava continues with another Drasha, about 9 lines from the bottom. B'schar Shamar V'mavinu. Imichot v'atzrech na'al v'mekach mikol asher loch. Avram Avinu had said that I'm not going to take any benefit from the booty in the war between the four kings and the five kings. Zachu banav l'shtei mitzvahs. There was zochet to two mitzvahs. Chut shel tcheles and ritzua shel tefillin. The chut of tcheles on tzitzis and the ritzua shel tefillin. It says, Gmar Bishlam ritzua shel tefillin, the thuro kol ha'aretz, kishem Hashem nikra eleka v'yaru mimeka. The Torah tells us in Devarim that the people on the earth will see and they will be afraid of you. And they will see that you're called Shem name. V'tani Rebbe Elazar HaGadol Omer, Elu Shev Tefillin Sheberoish. These are the Tefillin Sheberoish. So we know that there was another that was given to Klal Yisrael V'ro Kol Ha'me'aretz Kishem Hashem Nekra Elecha Chut Shel Tcheles Mahi. But what is the Hana of Chut Shel Tcheles? The Sanya, as we learn, Rai Sar Meir, Rai Manish Tana Tcheles Mikominate Sivayim. Why did Torah tell us to put on Dafka Tcheles? Famous Chazal, Tnesha Tcheles, Dem Eliyam, Yam Dom Lerakia, Rakia Dem Lekisi Akovit, Shnemu, Yiru Es Elokei, Sov Asachas, Ragel, Kemasev, Vnoisa Sapir, Ketzem Hashemayim Latoyer, Uthiv, Kamari Evin Sapir, Demuth, Kisei. So one color is to remind the next, to remind the next, which ultimately is to remind the Kisei Akovit. So that's a gift that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has given us. Number one, the gift of the tefillin is that the Amei Aretz will see Kishem Hashem Nikra Elecha. And number two, that the tcheles of the tzitzis is to remind us of the Rakia. One point about the above Gemara. The Gemara had told us that we were awarded, in terms of Avraham's concern of the two laces, that we got our two special laces. The laces of tcheles and laces of tefillin. Rashi in Menachos, when discussing this Gemara, V'roch ha'la'me'arz, Kishem Hashem Nikra Elecha, says that, of course, this pasuk refers to the tefillin sheberosh, is because, Rashi there says, because the tefillin sheberosh is the Shem Hashem, because it has the shin and the dalis that are written on them. The Mir Hashem in the Halacha section will discuss what it means the Shin and Dalis are written on the Tefillin Sheberosh, and what implications that has for Halacha L'maisa. Taisus over there asks, no, those Ritzuas don't qualify as the Tefillin Sheberosh themselves, because at the end of the day, Ritzuas from the Sugya Megillah on Chavon Beis seem to have only Tashmishe Kedusha, not that they themselves are Kedusha, and therefore Taisus understands V'roch HaLameyaretz means that the Tefillin Sheberosh is seeable, and that's why V'roch HaMeretz refers to it, contrast to the Shel Yad, that it's not seeable. The Marsha in Meseches Chulin and Daf Pei Ches on the Beis points out that L'chura we could bring a strong Raya to Rashi from our Gemara, because our Gemara was not talking about the box, the bias of the Tefillin, but rather was talking about the Ritzua. So it seems that the Ritzua also includes, of course, the Dalit that was written in the Ritzuas, which Rashi describes, which is the knot around the head. So if that would be so then we would have a strong Raya for the Shita of Rashi. And Mirtz Hashem, we will talk about this in the Halacha section about the appropriate Kesher in the Shel Rosh. The Mishnah continues, Ezer Hashem on Yud Zayin Amid Aleph on the bottom line, Ein HaKosev Loi Al HaLuach. The Megillah Sot is not written on wood, V'Loi Al Niyar, and not on paper made of grass, V'Loi Al HaDifter.
and not on high El Al Megillah, but rather it's written on cloth, which was not simply hide, but rather the difference between or and cloth, or being the hide, the diphthera, and Megillah being the cloth, and that is hide that's already been made and been developed, gone through the process, what's referred to as ibut. Shenemar b'sefer, because the Torah tells us, v'kosa v'esha'ola sa'ela v'hakoyen b'sefer u'machal me'amorim. V'eina koysev loy b'kumus, loy b'kankinusim, v'chol loy b'chol davashe roishem ela b'diyoy. The only thing that's used is ink, and what is not supposed to be used is a type of sap from a tree, or a black paint that was made from pitch, that's kankenusim, or anything else, but rather specifically ink. Shenera umacha ksav sheyachol limchos. It needs to be something that can be erased, and not that it simply makes an impression, but rather it's worn off by water. Says the Gemara, four lines in. Amar Rava, Megillah Saita shenichtava b'layla psula. The Megillah Saita has to be written during the day. My time. What's the reason it has to be written specifically in the day? Asya Teira Teira. Ksiv hacha va'asala akainis kola teira azais. In regards to the Saita, it says, the Parsha concludes that he should do this entire Teira. Uksiv hasam al piya Teira sheiruch val mishpat. Ma mishpat b'yoyim af Megillah Saita b'yoyim. Just like Mishpat is supposed to be done by Yoyim. And we said that Mishpat goes together with Torah, as said in the above Pasuk. So too, the Megillah Saita has to be done by Yoyim. Kosva l'mafreya. What happens if the Megillah Saita is written backwards? Psula. Then it's possible. Dechsiv v'chasas ala halos ha'ele. Ki dechsiva. So it has to be written the way it was written, as Ha'ala Sa'ela means as is written. Kasvach koidim shetekabel ha'shvua psula. If he writes it before she took the shvua, then it's also pasur. Shenemar v'shbia. V'achakach v'kasav. First there's the shbia, and then you have him writing it. Kasva igeres. If it's written as a letter, Rashi explains, it means that it requires sirtut. Example, a sefer that's written without lines. That's the standard example of an igeres. A letter is something that's written without sirtut, lines that were scratched out. That passes for sifrei kedusha. Kasa igeres psula. Why? Because b'sefer or marachmana. It has to be written the Sefer. Rashi here says that there's halacha l'oshem Sinai shesvarim tzrichim tzirtut, that svarim need to be written with the appropriate line. Continues the Gemara on the top of Yudches Amid Aleph. Kosval shnei dapim. If the Megillah Saita is written in two columns, like the way a Sefer Torah is normally written, psulin. Sefer echad amarachmana v'loy shnayim. Two different columns would already be considered two svarim. If he writes and he erases, and then writes and erases, then it's possible. The chsiv va'asal ha'kain is called hatayra azos. First, the whole Megillah has to be written, and then it's erased and put into the mayim hamorim. So it should not be written, then erased, and then written, and then erased, and then put in to the Mayim Hamorim. Our first halacha, Be'ezer Hashem, for Daf Yud Zayin, is the halacha, as we mentioned, of the kesher of the tefillin, the dalet shel tefillin, and because the daf was a little bit short, we have a little bit more time than usual to elaborate on this halacha. We had mentioned in the Gemara that the reward for Avraham Avinu's concern for the two strands, michut v'atzrochnal, that he didn't want to take any hana from this world, his children zocha for the chut shel tcheles and the ritzua shel tefillin. We mentioned already that the fact that our Gemara puts together the ritzua shel tefillin with the Shel Rosh seems to support the position of Rashi in the Gemara Menachos on Dal Amid Hey Amid Beis. When the Gemara says Verochal Amid, based on the pasuk in Devarim, Verochal Amid Aret Kishem Hashem Nikra Elecha V'Yoru Mimecha, so the Gemara there says in Menachos as well as in our Gemara, Elus Tefillin Shever Rosh. This refers to the Tefillin of the head. Rashi, over there in that sugya, says that's because the Tefillin Shever Rosh, the reason why they are referred to in the pasuk is because they have the osios of Hashem and it has the shin and the dalet. What does Rashi mean when he refers to the dalet? So Tosfos over there in Dibar Maschilelu says Rashi must be referring, of course, to the knot of the dalet that's put in the back of the head. Tosfos rejects Rashi over there with a couple of very strong questions. And Tosfos asks, but wait a second, how could it be that the Dalid Rashi considers as being part of the tefillin itself? The halacha is that there is a requirement when it comes to the batim of themselves that you need something that's kosher from an animal that's kosher. Min hamutar beficha is only that which is being used. That's the only thing that one is allowed to use. The Gemara in Shabbos on Chav Ches Amid Beis seems to indicate that this only applies to the bayis and not to the ritzuis. So now, how could you say that it's included when he says Rosh Hashanah Tzviyaru Mecha? It's referring to the bayis and the ritzuis. At the end of the day, the halacha min hamutar beficha doesn't even apply to it. Number two, Tosfos asks that the ritzuis of the tefillin are only tashmishei kedusha and not kedusha mamish. Based on this, that leads Tosfos to give a different pshat, and Tosfos says that the reason and the meaning behind Verochal Ame'aretz means that you show them the tefillin themselves. How are we to reconcile Tosfos' objections to Rashi? Rav Soloveitchik had a beautiful mahalach. It is brought down in the Shi'urei Hagrid on tefillin. Firstly, Rav Soloveitchik pointed out that there is a fundamental machlokis between Rashi and Tosfos. In the Gemara in Shabbos, on Daf Samach Beis Amud Aleph, Rashi comments on that Gemara that the yud of the tefillin and the dalid and the shin are all considered halacha lemoshe misinai. All of them are halacha lemoshe misinai. But Tosfos says that only the shin is halacha lemoshe misinai and not the dalid and yud. So the Rav pointed out that the machlokes between Rashi and Tosfos, without having a teiris yet to Rashi, is that Rashi holds that everything is halacha lemoshe misinai. And therefore, the ritzuos, the dalit on the ritzua, is halacha lemoshe misinai. What about Tosfos' objection? So if we're going to say that the dalit is halacha lemoshe misinai, that also happens to be the opinion of the Rambam. The Rambam in Perek Gimel, halacha aleph hilchos tefillin, says that there is a halacha lemoshe misinai that includes the dalit as well. Yet, nevertheless, the Rambam over there in Perek Gimel Halacha Tezayin says that a nachri can make the dalit of the shel rosh. How could that possibly be? On the one hand, it's halacha lemoshe misinai, yet at the same time, he's allowed to make it, and we know, of course, a goy would not be able to write tefillin. That led the Rav Soloveitchik to the following conclusion, and that is that you have to say that there are two levers. That when it comes to the oisiyos themselves, then that's a halach of ksivas tam. So then in such a case, then there's a requirement min hamutar beficha. So then in such a case, there, the batim themselves have to be made from kosher material. However, if we're not talking about the ksiva itself, we're not talking about the ksivas tam, but rather we're talking about the tsuras hakesher, so then in such a case, then they don't have to be written by a Jew. It could be made by a Gentile. Yet at the same time, it could very well be that it's mefurish in the Rambam that it's included in the halacha lemoshe misinai. And for that reason, one could explain that it's only considered tashmishei kedusha and not gufei kedusha, because the halacha of gufei kedusha is only the din of the ksav. This would be the defense to Rashi how Rashi could possibly say that the Dalid of the Shel Rosh is included in the tefillin itself. It wouldn't be as far as the Ksav, but it would be included in the tefillin itself, to the point, as the Rambam said, it's part of the Halacha Moshe Sinai, as Rashi himself said in Shabbos on Samach Beis, and hence, the Dalit is a critical part of the tefillin itself, and according to Rashi, it's the Halacha Moshe Sinai that combines the Shin with the Dalit, and then with the Yud. Tosas, of course, did not have it as part of the Halacha Moshe Sinai. There are two major nafkaminas that will come out of this discussion between Rashi and Tosas. First of all, one of my great Rabbeim, Rav Shechter, in his Sefer Nevesh HaRav, quotes Rav Soloveitchik on page Kuf Hei, as stating that tefillin, which do not have a dalid, but rather many have a men as their in the back of their knot, is quite problematic because Rashi holds that it's halacha l'moshe misinai to have the ksharim doing a shin and a dalid and a yud. You have the shin on the bayis itself, but then you have a dalid in the kesher of the shel rosh, and then a yud on the shel yad, on the kesher of the shel yad. So for that reason, that's a ma'ake, that's halacha l'moshe misinai according to Rashi, and the other customs aren't filling a halacha l'moshe misinai. So for that reason, Rav Soloveitchik felt that the correct approach was to put a dalid. This was one of the exceptions where Rav Soloveitchik was very much into each person following their own minug. However, over here, Rav Shechter writes, "Va'af deruva deruva shel chilufei anhagos hayiragul Rabbeinu lomer talmidim sheyelchu tamid acharei minhag avoseihem." Normally, he would tell the students to follow their father's customs. Mekol makom minyan zeh hayimak bin ma'od umor alachol sheyeshon l'sakin es tzuras hadalus ki kayemes svar chazaka sheulai lo yatzu klal beker hamerubua. According to Rashi, one is not fulfilling that halacha l'moshe misinai. Another practical nafkamina in this is, do we follow Tosas or do we follow Rashi as far as the effect of Urol Chol Ameyaretz V'yaru Mimeka as being the Shel Rosh through people seeing it, or being the Shel Rosh through the majority of the letters of Shakai being there? If it's through the opinion of Tosas, then that would mean that one should l'chatchila show the Shel Rosh. It's interesting to note that at the end of this piece, Rav Soloveitchik quotes that his grandfather, Reb Chaim, as well as his father, Rav Moshe Soloveitchik, were not makbid to, when they put on their talus over their head, to leave uncovered the Shel Rosh of the tefillin. It didn't matter that the talus covered the Shel Rosh. However, he says that there were some people who were makbid to leave the talus uncovered. It would come out that Rav Soloveitchik's hakpada would be l'shita. So if they were following Mikra Dedina like Rashi, so on the one hand, they were careful to have a dalid of the kesher. At the same time, they were defining Rol Kol Ameyaretz the way Rashi had understood it, and hence there was no reason to be careful to leave the tefillin uncovered. However, the simple reading of the Mechaber and Simchav Sif Yud Aleph is tefillin sherosh tov lios gluyim venirim. And the Gra says that this is based on the Tosas and Menachos on Lamed Hei Amid Beis. So what will come out is that according to Tosas, and if someone wants to follow both Shitas, maybe there is a Mekor to leave the Tefillin revealed, so then one would also be Mekayim the Shita of Tosas, V'ro Chol Ame Ha'aretz, according to Tosas' Shita. The next topic in Hilchos Tefillin that comes out of the same line in Gemara also relates to this pasuk of Aroch Ol Ameyaretz Kishem Hashem Nikra Alecha. And that is the mysterious phenomenon of the brachos that we make on tefillin. The Mechaber paskins in Simin Chof Hei, Si'if Hei, that the bracha that is made on the tefillin is one bracha, Le Hamiach Tefillin. That's the bracha that is to be made. The Ramah disagrees, and the Ramah says, V'yesh omrim levarech al shel rosh al mitzvah tefillin. What's the point of dispute? Well, the Mechaber later on quotes the Gemara in Menachos and Daf Lamed Vav that if a person is mafsik, the Gemara says, between the shel yad and the shel rosh, so then in such a case he makes the bracha of al mitzvah tefillin. The simple reading of the Gemara, it's a discussion in Rishonim there, is that only in a case of when he's mafsik do you then make the bracha of al mitzvah tefillin. However, the Ramah, based on earlier Rishonim, the minority view of the Rosh, says that no, two brachas are to be made. One, laniach tefillin, and the other, al mitzvah tefillin. The Gra on the Mechaber in Chaf Hehe created a phenomenon where not all Ashkenazim follow the reading of the Ramah that one makes a bracha of al mitzvah tefillin on the shel rosh. The Gra objects, and the Gra follows the opinion of Mechaber. The Gra's opinion is to make only a bracha of lehaniach tefillin. In fact, what is interesting, my grand rabbis, in other words, my rabbeim's rabbeim, the Talmidim of Reb Shlomo Zalman Orbach reported, if I am not mistaken, that Reb Shlomo Zalman Orbach only made a bracha of lehaniach tefillin like the Gra, as well as my other rabbeim from the United States, the Talmidim of Reb Soloveitchik, reported that he also followed this Gra, that they only made the minhag of base brisk was also to make a bracha lehaniach tefillin because of this bomb objection of the Gra. The Gra pointed out that the Tosefta in Trumas describes that someone who's going on the way and he's being mafresh Trumos and Maisros, as even if he's doing different hafrashos, as long as he's not mafsik, he makes one bracha on the hafrasha. And in such a case, that's enough. You don't make a separate bracha on every mitzvah. Says the Gra, even if we're going to say that the Shel Yad and the Shel Rosh are two separate mitzvahs, that is how the Rambam counts it, nevertheless, one bracha should be enough. There's no need to make two separate brachas. I heard from Rav Braunspiegel, who heard from Rav Soloveitchik, a beautiful answer to defend the Ramah. Interestingly, Rav Soloveitchik didn't follow, he himself follow this answer, but of course, this didn't prevent him from defending the position of the Ramah. And he gave the following answer to the minhag that many of us Ashkenazim have following the Ramah of making two separate brachos. At the end of the day, how do we differentiate between the Tosefta that describes if you're doing two hafrashos on two different mitzvahs, you make one bracha? Yet, when it comes to the tefillin, where you're putting on two ma'isa anachos of tefillin, you make two separate brachos. So here Rav Soloveitchik gave a beautiful idea that's based on the drasha of our Gemara, as well as, of course, its primary source in Menachos on Lamed Hei on the Beis. And that is the following. When it comes to hafrashas, trumas, and maisras, even though they're two separate mitzvos, it's the same maisa. They're a hafrasha. And whenever you do the same maisa, even if it's two different kiyumim, so then, in other words, the Tzura, the structure of the action is the same action. In such a case, then the bracha that is made is only one bracha. However, over here, when it comes to Shel Yad and Shel Rosh, there are two totally different ma'isim mitzvahs. When it comes to Shel Rosh, there, our Gemara describes it in a very striking way. Our Gemara had said, V'ro chol amei aretz kishem Hashem, Nikra Elecho is referring to the tefillin Shel Rosh. That the Amei Aretz will see the Shem Hashem is called on your head. This Maila of the head that put on, has tefillin that's put on it, in the Gemara Rosh Hashanah and Yudzayin Amin Aleph, it's clear, and from the Tosus over there, it's clear that we're talking about a head that has an identity that has been defined that is Matin, is appropriately associated with the tefillin. A karkafta de munach tefillin. It's about giving an identity to the head, giving the head its appropriate structure and approach. In contrast, to the bracha of the shel yad. The bracha of the shel yad is a bracha on the pu'ulas mitzvah, v'haniach tefillin. So when it comes to the bracha of the shel yad, that's a bracha on the pu'ulas mitzvah. On the shel rosh, it's a chalos shem, it's the identity of a gavra who put on tefillin. It's not a question of the pu'ulas mitzvah, but it's something that's coming to add kedusha akarkafta de gavra. If that's so, then there are two different pulos and two different mitzvahs. Of course, then what would also emerge is that the mitzvah of putting on the shel rosh, one should keep in mind and ask ourselves, in what way is it affecting our rosh, or is it just simply chas v'chalila only a pu'ulas mitzvah, which is not transforming our rosh, that our rosh is a karkafta de monach tefillin. Because daf yud zayin was a short daf, we're treated to a bonus, and that is a third topic, be'ezer Hashem of halacha. And that is a topic that's not well known. There are many exceptions that do not require it according to many shitos, but still, its lack of awareness requires us to review the basic halacha, because it is a mishnah on our daf, as well as two se'ifim and a simin in Shulchan Aruch. And that is halacha of siurtut. Our mishnah told us that Megillah Sota is like the writing of a sefer, and therefore the Gemara says it's not supposed to be written on the last line of Yudzayin and Beis. The Gemara says it's not supposed to be written like a letter. It has to be written as a sefer. What does that mean? Says Rashi, Halacha Moshe Misinai, that Sfarim need to have Sirtut. That Sifrei Kodesh require Sirtut. Now Tosas deals with a problem. And that is that if you look in the Gemara in Gittin on Davov HaMebeis, the Gemara in Gittin outlines that not only Sifrei Kodesh require Sirtut. Sirtut meaning underlining under the Psukim. If you take a look in a Sefer Torah, you'll see that there are underlines under the Psukim. You take a look in Tefillin and Mezuzos, you'll see it, although the halachic requirements might be different for them, but you'll see that there's scratching that outlines the line so that it be straight. However, the Gemara in Gittin is clear that does not only apply as a simple reading from our Gemara that requires for those things that are called Svarim. Rather, the Gemara in Gittin says that the halacha is that if you write any three words, two words could be written without Sirtut. Three words already required Sirtut, which means, according to the simple Gemara in Gittin, that would require that any time we write three words from a pasuk, of course we're talking only about a pasuk of Tanakh, so then in such a case, there is a requirement of Sirtut. Why? Presumably the rationale of Sirtut is to show kavod that the psukim are in order. So Tosas asks, so our Gemara seems to suggest that the only time there's a requirement is Sifrei Kodesh, not like the Gemara in Gittin that says that you need it anytime you write three words or more. Tosas' answer, Rabbeinu Tam, there are a few approaches in the Rishonim. For the halacha segment, we summarize the answers that are most significant, and that is that Rabbeinu Tam suggests that the difference between the two is the following. If we're talking about a sefer, then every line needs sirtut. However, if we're talking about a time that, let's say, we're writing a letter and we're quoting a pasuk, so then in such a case, as long as the outline of the letter has already been formed, Rabbeinu Tam's language in our Tosas in Dibra Maskel Kasva, that there was already Sirtut Bidalid Peos HaGilyon, and you already created a boundary, so then in such a case, it will be enough. This opinion of Rabbeinu Tam finds its way with a slight modification in Yoredei Simin Reish Pei Dalid Siv Beis. And that is, number one, in Reish Pei Dalid Aleph, we learn that all Kisvei Kodesh need to be written with Sirtut. And in Halacha Beis, we say it's prohibited to write three words from a pasuk without Sirtut. And the Ramah adds, the Ramah says, but if you've got Sirtut on the top line, so then in such a case it's enough. And that is quoted as the tour in the name of Rabbeinu Tam. And that's this idea we saw from Rabbeinu Tam, that the requirement is not on
every pasuk. This is a very basic approach the Shach also agrees with, and that is if the top line already borders the letter, then it will be mutter. There is another teretz of Tosas to this question, which also finds its way in Shulchan Aruch, and that is if you take a look three lines down from the end of Tosas, Tosas quotes, Shemati Rabbi Eliyahu Tzarfati, Shayu Omer Mashanu Kosim B'Ksavim B'lo B'Sirtut, I people write without Sirtut, Lekal Mechesh, Deloka Svin L'Shum Pasuk El Amir Ba'alma, Lifros B'Sholem B'Loshin Ivri, Oladaber Bo B'Loshin Tzach. Tosas gives another suggestion. The Rabbi Eliyahu Tzarfati said, when people are using psukim just as a way of conveying a message or as an expression, so then in such a case, then it would be permissible to do it without theory. For example, if someone would say, Narisi Vegam Zakanti, and he's describing an old age, that's an example of using a pasuk that is a way of expression, but he doesn't mean it for Torah. This also finds its way into Shulchan Aruch and Siv Beis, right above the statement of Rabbeinu Tam in the Mechaber himself, where the Mechaber writes, "Umiu biigeres shalomim muter lichtol afilu kama tevos me'apostol kudvar tzachus." If it's a letter and it's just being used as expression, it's not being used as Torah. So then, in such a case, it's going to be permissible. However, the Shach doesn't, even though this is Rabbeinu Eliyahu, the Yeshach himself is not so excited about this, although definitely it finds its way into Shulchan Aruch. That would be heter number two, two heterim that explain why, even though the Gemara Megillin says that one needs to write besirtut, then why it would not take place ben hazeh. Of course, if one's using what's colloquially described as lined letter, lined paper, then there's no need. But many, many times, a Rebbe on a blackboard, what's the heter for him to write a pasuk to teach? In such a case, l'chura, it would need sirtut. If you take a look at some of the haskamas of Sfarim, particularly the Rosh Yeshiva in Lakewood, Reb Melchiel Cutler, he's very judicious. Every single pasuk that he quotes, he writes, he underlines. However, if the Rav already has lined paper, it won't be a problem. If there's already a line above, that would be enough. If I'm not mistaken, Chacham Avadya Yosef Shlita says that a computer, if a person's writing on the computer, for sure that would be sirtut. And then if one follows the Ramah, so then in such a case, if there's one computer line on top, one line that's written by the computer, then that might be enough to be misader, that which comes underneath. A third rationale why some people today are not careful in doing sirtut might be based in certain instances on a rationale found in the Pisrei Tshuva over there in Reish Pei Dalet Sivkot and Hey, where he quotes from a sefer Chomos Yerushalayim that if one already wrote neatly lines above other materials, not Torah psukim, in such a case that would be fall into the category of the top line being sirtut, and then therefore it's already neat, so and it's already structured, the tsura of the letter of the paper is already dictated, so then in such a case it will be enough. Again, that's all building off of Rabbeinu Tam. Finally, hidden in Shulchan Aruch might be one final rationale that maybe people rely on, it's actually hidden in the Gra as well, for not being machmir in writing psukim today with sirtut. And that is, the lashon of the Shulchan Aruch in Siv Beis is the following. Asa lichtov gimel teos mi pasuk below sirtut imhu ksav ashuris. It's prohibited if it's written to write three psukim in ksav ashuris. Comments the Gra, what is the Mechaber saying when he says ksav ashuris? We know the Sefer Torah is written in ksav ashuris. He gives us, of course, Kedarka B'Kodesh, a reference to the second parak of Megillah, to the Rosh in Simon Beis in second parak of Megillah, who quotes a Ramban that the Rosh himself does not like. And that is that the Ramban says that this halach of sirtut only applies if one is writing a Sefer Torah, Nevi'im, and Ksuvim in ksav ashuris. However, a letter that we're writing
and Perushim, it sounds like from the Ramban, even Torah, in such a case there isn't a requirement. It could very well be that the Minhag HaOlam is following this Rabbeinu Tam, which is alluded to, as the Gra pointed out, in the language of the Mechaber in Reish Pei Dalet Beis. However, what is interesting is the Rush said, V'lo re'yisil ha-rabosai no'agin kein. It seems that the Rush himself, in the Rush's days, they were machmir and sirtut. The Karbin Nisanel comments on that Rush and Megillah, va'achshav ha-minig ke'aramban. The minig follows the Ramban. Hence, it could very well be that the real reason that we don't do sirtut today is a reason that's not explicit in the Shulchan Aruch and its Mefarshim, but rather is alluded to in the Shulchan Aruch and referenced to by the Gra, and that is that the only time there's a Chiyuv is if it's in Ksav Ashuris. So we had a bunch of reasons of why one could possibly not have a Chiyuv of doing Sirtut, despite the fact that it's a Gemara Mifureshes in Gittin on Davav on the Beis that writing a Pasuk requires Sirtut. Rabbeinu Tam, the explanation that the top line, once that is there, so then in such a case, everything below is considered sirtut. If the Rabbeinu Tam in front of us in Sota on Yud Zayin seemed to say that you needed to make all sides, Rabbeinu Tam is quoted in the Ramah as the top line. Then we had the explanation that some give based on the Rabbeinu Eliyahu, and that is, as we saw in Rabbeinu Eliyahu Tosos, that if it's just being used as an expression, then it's going to be okay. However, the Shach says that it's not mashma that way, even though it's brought down in the Mechaber. We then had some who said that anytime there's any type of lettering above, then that's going to be okay and qualify as Rabbeinu Tam. If there were lines above, that will be fine. That's quoted in the Piskei Tshuva. And finally, what seems to emerge from the Gra, and the Karbin Nisanel says that is our minog, the fact that the Shulchan Aruch says, particularly in Ksav Ashuris, might be leaning towards the opinion of the Ramban, that the only time there's a Chiyuv of Sirtut is if it was written B'Ksav Ashuris.